Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. Welcome Mitch Cook from Unified Trust. Mitch is my latest guest on the show talking Fiduciary 5, short snippets and ERISA and 401k tidbits for the 401k advisor. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chuck. Good morning to you, too.
So you and I were talking in the pre-call before the actual recording of the show. We're going to be talking about a commercial that mentions a security monitor versus a security guard. So why don't you give the audience a little bit of background on that commercial, and then let's talk about should a retirement plan have one or both of those things?
No, I definitely appreciate that, Chuck. Yeah, so for those of you out there, the commercial that Chuck and I were talking about was the LifeLock commercial. It was a couple of years ago that they released, and it had to do with a bank robbery. In the commercial, it was showing a robbery, and everyone goes to the ground, you know, as the guns went up. And it shows kind of a quote-unquote thought-to-be security guard standing right in the middle of the crowd that's on the floor. A woman looks up at that security guard and proceeds to ask, "Are you going to do something?" And that security guard responds by saying, "Oh, I'm not a security guard. I'm a security monitor. I only notify people if there's a robbery." And then there's a little bit of a pause as he's studying the robbery, and then he says, "There's a robbery." So it is one of those things where you would think in this particular case that it was going to be a security guard, but at the end of the day, it was just somebody notifying it. So that's kind of the background of that commercial, which kind of set into the whole conversation of what Chuck and I are talking about today. And as Chuck mentioned, should retirement plans have security monitors, security guards, or both in that retirement for their retirement program? And I think as we continue to see the increase in litigations, government intervention, DOL and IRS audits, and even more importantly, the requirements for plan participants, the disclosures and educations, we start seeing higher failures by plan sponsors, whether they thought that they had hired security guards in place and they got security monitors, or they didn't realize what their responsibilities were. It really still falls down into what levels of security and protection do you have in place today? And so the answer is yes, really to both of those. You do need to have both the monitoring as well as the level of protection, especially if this is not an area of your expertise, and for most plan sponsors, it is not. I'm just going to share with you really quick a study that PIMCO Survey did last year, and they asked what was the most important factors for plan sponsors when looking at, for an advisor and things to help with their retirement program, and the top two was managing litigation risk and meeting participant retirement goals. And in a lot of cases, those really go hand in hand. How do you accomplish one without the other? And so as we continue to see, employers are not just looking to hire someone to monitor, but they're also needing to have somebody to help with those security guards, someone to take on that risk and liability. So,
Mitch, thanks for expanding on that. So for folks that don't know Mitch, tell the folks which area of the country you work to help plan sponsors and retirement plan-centric advisors with these type of things.
No, thanks, Chuck. I am an institutional retirement consultant for Unified Trust, and my responsibility is the Upper Midwest Territory. I am dead center out of Des Moines, Iowa, which right now at this time of the year is a little frigid. I think they said we were getting colder temperatures than what they were on Mars. So if that gives you kind of an idea, as an IRC, our responsibility is really helping the advisors grow and scale and their practices, and also additionally providing the necessary fiduciary liability protection for plan sponsors with regard to the retirement plan.
Thanks, Mitch. You mentioned a couple of areas where security failures still occur. You know, you mentioned litigation, you mentioned participant notices. Are there any other places that plan sponsors should be paying a lot of attention to help prevent these type of mishaps from occurring?
Absolutely. With today, there's still the misconception of plan fiduciaries really understanding their roles and responsibilities. I think first and foremost, we have to talk about where's the failure still occurring today, and that comes down to making sure that plan sponsors are educated in what their roles and responsibilities are, but also who are the fiduciaries of the plans. So that's first and foremost, a lot of where we're seeing those failures, whether it's with regard to the investments, the assets, or the education for plan participants, the disclosures, those all come down to is what does the plan sponsor truly understand? And so there's still a significant need out there, and a lot of the best practices that are being implemented today, especially from an advisor who is a retirement plan specialist, is going to be doing annual meetings with those particular plan sponsors, those fiduciaries, and making sure they understand their roles.
Mitch, thank you very much. And I do want to bring one more thing up. You know, I read an article just like 2 or 3 days ago that the Department of Homeland Security was hacked and gave up countless names and addresses of their employees. Cybersecurity is a big deal, not just in a small business, but obviously in big business and government as well. What should plan sponsors be doing to help with this potential risk of cybersecurity threats inside of their retirement plans?
No, and I think this is probably the biggest thing that we're going to see moving forward. One of the most amazing things is the retirement industry is a $27 trillion market. And so cybersecurity is and should be one of the biggest discussions coming into 2018, just because of everything that you're referring to, whether it's Homeland Security or even if we take a look at the biggest cybersecurity breach last year with Equifax. I mean, a lot of it really comes down to understanding the third parties and all the various parties that you're working with today. And it's not just the record keepers and custodians. I mean, those are a lot of where a lot of the information when it comes down to data on your plan as well as your plan participants. But it also has to be looked at for third-party administrators, the advisory and consulting firms, anybody that's going to have access to data of the plan. There needs to be certain measures in place. And so as part of processes moving forward, and a lot of the retirement plan advisors and consultants that are working with plans today, they're starting to add these things as agenda items. What are the process and procedures in place that each one of these firms that has access to participant and plan sponsor data, and what steps should they take? What action items? So if you are a plan sponsor or an advisor that's taken a plan sponsor to market, this is going to be something that you want to add into the RFP. What are things with regard to cybersecurity? What are encrypted that you can feel a lot more comfortable with and have that as a continued ongoing process?
Mitch, thanks very much for that. I do appreciate it, and I do also think that you're right. These are questions that we're starting to see evolve into the RFP process. Plan sponsors are becoming far more sophisticated when it comes to this data. And you literally can't go more than a month or so without finding out somebody was breached somewhere along the line over the last few months. So I think it's important that plan sponsors be aware of that. Mitch, if people want to get a hold of you to discuss this type of information or any of the other services that Unified Trust can provide to a retirement plan-centric advisor or their plan sponsor clients, how do they get a hold of you via phone and by email?
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. My phone number that you can reach me at is area code 515-776-0322, and that'll come directly to me. And my email address is mitch.cook. And I always have to say Cook is spelled the right way, COOK, @unifiedtrust.com.
Mitch, thank you very much for being a guest on the show today. I really appreciate your time, and we will absolutely have you back soon. So thank you very much.
Yep, thank you very much, Chuck. Have a great day.